you could tell us here? I know you got to get over.
I got a riddle for you. You'll never guess it.
What's this?
You'll never guess the riddle.
Oh, you got a riddle?
Yep.
That's even more fun, Happy. What's
You'll
this?
You'll never guess it.
I'll try.
Well, all right, try. Okay. If I ask you for the answer, give it to me quick.
All right.
What's got four legs, gray, it's colored gray all over, and a big trunk? Quick.
An elephant?
No, a mouse going on a vacation.
It's nice to have a nice, serious conversation for a change. Does that make John laugh, Happy, when you tell stories like that?
Oh, sure.
Does it?
Yeah.
Get Frank back on. I want to talk to Frank.
Okay, here I am again.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I know you got John there and you got Happy there. What in the act now, do you still sing like you used to sing to Jackie Gleason there?
Oh, sure.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the songs? What goes over best?
Well, I close with "You Nobody Till Somebody Loves You." I think that about expresses everybody's philosophy. And I sing "You Nobody Till Somebody Loves You," and I sing "If You Were the Only Girl in the World." And then with the audience, we do "Shine On Harvest Moon," "You Are My Sunshine," and "The Bells Are Ringing."
Gee, you've got quite a lineup there, Frank.
Yeah, and of course, I always do "Heart of My Heart."
Well, absolutely. Say, Frank Fontaine, before we let you get away from us, and I know you have to get over to Diamond Jim's, what, you do two shows a night, don't you?
Yeah, two shows a night there, Bill.
I wanted to ask you to tell everybody who's listening, it's an interesting story, and it doesn't take too long, how this wonderful routine of yours, this wonderful act that people have laughed at, they've laughed at when you were doing it with Jack Benny, and then when you were with Jackie Gleason, and now you're, for a number of years, you've been on the club circuit as a solo, and then terribly, just terribly successful, enormously successful, and always get wonderful reviews. How did this thing develop? How did it start?
And I made him up when I was 15, Bill.
Yeah.
Sitting on my aunt's front porch up there in Boston, Mass., which is my home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the summertime when about seven or eight kids were out in the street playing baseball, and they were arguing, "You're out, I'm safe, you're out, I'm safe." And it was hollering, and I said, "Sit down, and I'm going to tell you a story." So they all sat down, and they looked up at me with their little angel eyes, and I said, "What am I going to tell them?" So I just started wiggling my eyes around and changing my face and talking funny, and they seemed to be interested in it. You know, I'd get Little Red Riding Hood all mixed up. I'd say, "Once upon a time was a little girl named Red Riding Hood, and she hang around the house. She wasn't doing nothing, and the telephone rang. She said, 'Hello.'"
Yeah.
"And a voice said, 'Next time I see you in the woods, I'm going to bust you right in the nose.'"
Oh,
she said,
boy.
"Who is this?" "A friend." But it wasn't. Who was it? The wolf. And the next day, there was about 50 kids there. And the next day, there were about 200 kids there.
Yeah.
So,
and this is the way it's
going. Then I used to do a lot of impressions of Alfred Hitchcock. I used to do him and Alfred Hitchcock and Perry Como.
Oh, yes.
And he was an Andy. "Hello to him. Where is he? Hello to Andy." And I did the whole gamut of them all. "W.C. Fields, hi, yes." And I did all those impressions, but people wouldn't remember my name. And I'd been in show business since I was 15. At the age of 17, I said, "Why don't I do something that everybody will remember me by?" So I took the character I told the kids stories with and made him an Irish sweepstake winner, called him John L.C. Savoni, and would always close my act doing that particular routine. And it opened so many doors in my career that it's helped me bring up a beautiful wife and nine boys and two girls.
Isn't that wonderful?
Five boys in the service, three of them enlisted, and we're all a very, very happy family. I more or less put my family first and the career second. That's why you see me and then you don't, because raising 11 children is a big project, and you can't lose track of it. And sometimes in show business, you could, because there's so much demands on your time, you know.
Well, you can be very, very proud of that wonderful family, and they should be enormously proud of you, as I'm sure they are, Frank.
Sure they are.
Say, Frank, I'm going to have to say goodbye now, but I just want to thank you very much for being with us, and I know that you always thank the good Lord for the talents that he's given you, and we thank the good Lord that things have worked out so you can share all of that fun and talent with us.
Well, thank you very much. very much, Bill. That's beautiful to hear.
And you just have a wonderful run at Diamond Jim's, and we'll be seeing you and talking to you soon.
Right, Billy. Try to get in if you can.
I surely shall.
Love to see you in person.
Bye-bye now.
Say
goodbye to Happy now for me.
Okay.
And John.
I'll see you later, Bill.
Okay. Bye-bye. So long. They're all there. Oh. And he's like that when you're interviewing him in person, too. He'll turn around, all of a sudden he's John L. C. Silvoni. And he'll say, I wasn't doing nothing, just sitting here, wasn't doing nothing. And he sings, and this man has the most wonderful voice, as I know a lot of you know. Let's listen to Frank Fontaine, and I'll Get By.
Get by as long as I have you. You.
Frank Fontaine. I'll Get By. Frank Fontaine, John L. C. Savoni, and Crazy Guggenheim. Happy Guggenheim, they call him now.